It was 38 years ago the first ever case of Lyme disease was recorded in the United States. The year was 1975, and the case was reported in the town of Lyme, Connecticut, thus giving a name to the affliction. To this day, Lyme disease continues to be the most commonly reported vector-borne disease in the U.S. Now that the summer months are here, Lyme disease-carrying ticks are making their way through portions of the state of Michigan and at some point could very well land in Washtenaw County. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a weekly feature heard each Wednesday as part of Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. My guest this morning is Eric Foster. Eric is medical entomologist with the Michigan Department of Community Health's Communicable Disease Division. Eric, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, David. It's good to be here.
Well, let's talk about Lyme disease. Typically, the ticks that carry it are found more in the northern part of the state, aren't they?
Yes, that's correct. Historically, in the northern part of the state, the western Upper Peninsula is where they were originally discovered in the early 80s. But recently, we've seen some expansion of this species along the western side of the lower peninsula as well.
And we can only assume that as time goes on, they're going to become more prevalent in other parts of the state. Now, here in Washtenaw County, obviously, there have been no reported cases of infection that have taken place here. However, there were three county residents infected in 2012 and two so far in 2013. Obviously, all five contracted Lyme disease and travels out of the southeast Michigan region. When we do travel up north, Eric, or where deer ticks are typically found, what can we do to prevent contraction?
Well, that's a great question. I believe that one of the most important things is to just be educated about ticks and where they can be found in the environment. If you're going to be out recreating or working in wooded environments or environments with very tall grasses at the edge of woods, wearing insect repellent, the same type of repellents that you would use for mosquitoes, which are pretty bad this year due to all the heavy rains, will protect you from these particular ticks. Staying on the trail, because these ticks tend to congregate along game trails and human-made trails, they wait along the side of the trail with their front legs splayed out. They're on the vegetation, and as an animal passes by, they will grab onto it. They don't have very good eyesight, so they're reacting to movement and carbon dioxide, and so they're really just hoping to get onto anything. And so as we brush up against the vegetation on the side of the trail, they can grab onto our pants and crawl up. And so there are some other products out there that can protect us by treating our clothing. One of these is called permethrin. And this is a repellent, and it also can kill the ticks if they get onto the clothing. And it's the same product that the U.S. military uses in their uniforms as well to protect soldiers. So that is available at camping and outdoor stores. And they also even now have clothing that has the product pre-impregnated into the clothing. And you may have seen this at camping stores. They sell that. And so education, avoiding the habitat, so staying on the trail, and wearing repellents. And then if you do get a tick on you, getting it off as fast as possible. So doing a tick check when you come home or you get out of the woods, taking a shower. Oftentimes people will wash these off of them before the ticks even get a chance to bite them.
DEET is not recommended for small children. So how do we protect them if we're using just our typical...
Well, there is some preliminary work being done with other repellents for small children. And, there's a couple EPA-approved repellents, oil of lemon eucalyptus and picaridin, although I'm not exactly sure if picaridin is rated for children younger than DEET is. But these have shown to have some effectiveness against ticks as well. But with children, keeping a close eye on them and making sure that, when they're playing in the woods, that you're doing tick checks. These ticks tend to like areas around the nape of the neck, in the hairline, behind the ears, places where they can kind of not be noticed. And so for parents, I think doing, you know, daily tick checks of the children is a really good idea.
This is Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and today we're talking ticks and Lyme disease with Eric Foster. Eric is medical entomologist with the Michigan Department of Community Health's Communicable Disease Division. I've often heard people, Eric, who have Lyme disease say they had no idea they were bitten. I guess sometimes the ticks embed themselves in the skin, and then you should know, but obviously there are cases where they don't or they've left before we notice.
Yeah, that is correct. The stage of the tick that tends to infect the most people in the United States is called the nipple stage. There are three stages, free living stages, the larva, the nymph, and the adult. And the nymphs tend to be out right about the time when kids are getting out of school, people are taking vacations and recreating at state parks, and they're very small. They're about a millimeter in size, and very dark in color, and they can crawl onto you, and when they bite painlessly. And they will stay attached for a number of days, and oftentimes people don't notice them before the Lyme disease could potentially be transmitted. And so if you're in a habitat where there are ticks and you become ill after you visit that location, it may not be good to just think, well, I didn't, have a tick on me, so this couldn't be Lyme disease, pardon me, because you may not have noticed it.
Well, what symptoms should we look for if we happen to miss it?
Yeah, well, one of the most common symptoms of Lyme disease is an expanding rash called the erythema migrans. The layman's term for it is the bullseye rash. It's kind of a reddish rash that spreads outwards from the site of the bite and can get rather large. And this can onset anywhere between 3 and 14 days after the tick bite. So what we tell people is, within a couple weeks after being exposed to a tick habitat, if you've got a rash such as the one I just described, or headaches, fevers, muscle ache, joint pain, kind of a flu-like illness without the respiratory symptoms, then you may want to see your primary care physician and be assessed for Lyme disease.
I've read that the ideal habitat for these ticks is one with 85% humidity and a temperature higher than 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, that certainly sounds about right for this area, like we might be ripe for this kind of infestation. Is climate change going to alter the habitat and the stomping grounds for these bugs?
That is a great question. Indeed, they do need a higher amount of humidity. Because one of their weaknesses is that they dry out very quickly. If you were to put a tick in a freshly trimmed lawn with glaring sunlight on it, it would dry out very quickly. And so these are woodland and edge habitat creatures. And, warming climate may cause shifts in the distribution of not only the tick, but their host species. These ticks, in general, want to feed on small mammals in the first two stages. They feed on mice, they feed on chipmunks, and other small woodland creatures. And so as these animals proliferate in the environment, so may the tick.
So then might we assume that at some point in the future that these ticks bearing Lyme disease will be throughout the state of Michigan?
Yeah, there's some indication if you look at the history of the expansion of this species and how it is continuing to expand into receptive habitats. And like you said, habitats that are high in humidity, there are also some other factors involved, such as the soil type and the woodland cover. They tend to like areas with sandy soils or sandy loam soils. In areas with deciduous tree covers, they really proliferate in areas with a lot of oak trees, or oak maple areas, because as well their hosts do well in those habitats. So we've done some modeling in Michigan, and a lot of the state, a lot of the lower peninsula may be receptive habitat for these ticks once they do get there.
Again, as we head towards that day and that time, education is going to be key.
Absolutely.
Eric, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
That is Eric Foster, a medical entomologist with the Michigan Department of Community Health's Communicable Disease Division. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to this week's installment of Issues of the Environment. It's a segment produced by the WEMU News Department in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division. It's heard only on 89.1 WEMU.